Welcome, everybody, to Art of Advisory. My name is Hector Garcia, and I'm joined today by our guest speaker, Michael Lee. Michael Lee is an accountant, a bookkeeper from Burlington, Vermont, and the name of his business is Reconciled. Michael is also a good friend of mine. I met Michael a couple years ago at the Accountants Council, which is a program that Intuit put together to get a few forward-looking accountants, about 20 of us, to kind of give opinion about the direction of the QuickBooks Online software, the ecosystem, and how that helps the modern accountant, technology advisor, work with the clients hand in hand. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Hector, for having me on.
So I'm having Michael on in this special episode to talk about the Firm of the Future contest that Intuit, the folks at QuickBooks, are holding together this year in 2018. And they're going to announce the winners in a big conference that most of us pilgrimage to every year called QuickBooks Connect. So there was a total of five finalists, one for each country that Intuit has a big footprint on: Canada, US, Australia, UK, and now India. India's kind of the newcomer this year. And Michael Lee is representing the United States. So obviously I'm going to put the link to how to vote for Michael Lee and his company so he can be named the Firm of the Future this year. And the announcement will come in pretty quickly. We'll be somewhere between the 5th and the 7th of November. We will know. So Michael, if you don't mind, we'd like to learn a little bit about your business. I wanted to have you on while you were still a finalist and not a loser. So if you lose the contest, you were in the show before you lost. So you're still a finalist. So I'd like to ask you kind of the same questions that they asked you so we can learn about your business and what made you become a finalist in the Firm of the Future. And this is an important thing for anyone that's watching this that has an accounting and bookkeeping business or an advisory business, that, you know, big companies like Intuit and stuff, they're going to embrace practices that are helping their clients. And they have a much bigger footprint than any individual accountant has. So when you see a big company like QuickBooks, who serves 5 million customers, when they are awarding individual accounting professionals or small accounting firms on best practices, it's because they researched that these are the things that small business clients are looking for. So I think I find it valuable to talk about this in the podcast so you can learn some from it. And Michael has a wealth of knowledge to learn from in a very short time that he's run his practice, so it's pretty impressive. So Michael, let me start with the questions. How many small business clients do you serve with bookkeeping, accounting, tax type of services?
Hector, thanks for the questions. And yeah, we serve, at the time of the submission, it was over 90 clients, and actually now it's well over 100 clients on a regular basis.
Okay, and when you say serve the client, can you describe what this service is?
Yeah, Reconciled focuses primarily on online bookkeeping services, and we scale up to CFO level services or advisory services, like we call it. All of our customers, almost all of our customers, 90, 95% of our customers sign up for online bookkeeping services. And then 20 to 25% of those we upsell advisory services to. And we stay away from compliance services. So we don't do audit work. We don't do tax work, annual income tax work. We don't do any personal work for individuals. All of our work is focused on small businesses and startups. So that's the primary audience we serve. And we do that for clients all across the country.
So you're keeping the books clean, preparing internal use financial statements, yeah, and advising the business owners and managers on how to run their business better.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, what's the do you charge by the hour, flat fee? How do you charge?
We do value-based pricing. And so we have a starting basic bookkeeping price that's on our website. And then we scale up from there. Our average customer spends about $1,000 a month with us. And that could be anywhere from full service bookkeeping, including payroll, accounts payable management, accounts receivable management, and obviously some clients, advisory services as well.
And what's on your website is that minimum price. You talk about that's the minimum price.
Yeah, we do have a minimum price we set. And quite often, most of our clients don't end up there because they have way more needs than our minimum basic bookkeeping package.
And I'm going to veer off from the questions a little bit because I have some a personal question to ask you.
Yeah.
Posting a minimum price on a website, but then trying to value price, or essentially price based on what the account, what the client's needs are and the value you provide. Does that cause any consternation that people try to figure out how to get into that minimum price they already saw in the website?
Yeah, so I think for the minimum price for us is a gauge to let the clients, to let the customer know, look, if you can, if you're not able to at least spend this minimum, it's not worth talking to us. If you're not willing to consider that this minimum is like the entry level point to work with us. And it covers a very basic set of services, very, very basic set. And if you're not there even at that level yet and able and ready to spend that money, then we're not the right service for you.
Okay. And when you're talking about upselling them to the CFO advisory service, what does that look like? What do they get? What is it that you offer in addition to the traditional bookkeeping financial statement preparation that entices someone to essentially, I guess, pay more monthly for that CFO advisory service? What does that look like? What type of work do you do with them?
Yeah. So most, you know, what we find is most new customers we're talking to and most entrepreneurs in general, they don't know the difference. Many don't know the difference between bookkeeping, accounting, HR, CFO. It's all one thing to them, right? And so when they come to the table, they all think it, when they come talk to you, they all think it fits in this umbrella of basic bookkeeping. And they don't realize that not only are those services all different and they all can be delivered in a different set way with different workflow processes, but also they require a different level of skills and different types of people involved in those skills based on the service. So when we upsell this to advisory services, we're introducing a more of a human touch in that situation. We're introducing the expertise of one of the advisors on our team, and we have three advisors on our team that includes myself and two others. We're introducing our backgrounds, our expertise, the types of companies we've consulted, and the kinds of work we can do. So we have an advisor on our team that if somebody comes to us in a really heavy debt situation with their business after reviewing their balance sheet, we have an advisor that can turn around that debt situation and go and restructure their capital, right? If we have a startup that comes to us and says, we have a business plan, we really want to strengthen the financial component of it and go raise some seed capital or some money, we have expert in that area, right? We have expert in nonprofits and retail establishments and restaurants that understands how do you advise growth in those types of businesses. So the advisory side is much more tailored and much more human touch and can include a monthly or weekly phone call. It can include presentations to their board or to their bank. It can include negotiation and coaching. So that's where advisory services come into play. That is very different than bookkeeping.
And if these things are not presented or packaged as a separate service, then I found that the small business clients assume that all the stuff is included. So how do you have that conversation? Like what triggers it? Like how do you, I guess it'll be, the question is more as someone watching this saying, hey, I want to do more advisory services. I don't know how to approach telling my client, listen, you're looking for something that's not included, or I may have found an opportunity to do something that's not included. How do you have those conversations?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that you know, your audience probably has to do well, and what we've done and what I've trained my sales guy to do as well, is to listen for those opportunities. So when you go into a sales process, one is to really make sure you have good questions and you have the right questions that entice or unlock those needs that come up. And so, you know, asking the entrepreneur, hey, who's on your management team? Talk to me about your management team, right? How often or who do you talk to about your financials on a weekly or monthly basis? Often you're going to get the answer, nobody. I don't talk to anybody. Or I talk to my wife or I talk to my banker. I might call my CPA once a year. Okay, I think, and this is where then you can turn and say, we offer this advisory service. I think you would benefit from it. It's something we add on to, and depending on the size of their bookkeeping package they're going to sign up for that you're proposing, you could say, hey, you're signing up for a basic package, but I think we should throw in a once a quarter or a once a month financial review to see, to explain to you these financials, to talk about them, to talk about what trends we see, what opportunities we see to improve upon your financials, and how can we help you hit your goals from a financial perspective. Right? A very simple way of presenting it and you owning that conversation of presenting it as a value on top of your bookkeeping service. And making the assumption that the bookkeeper is talking to you because they actually want to buy, not the bookkeeper, the client. They're talking to you because they actually want to, they want to hear from you something to buy, right? They want you to present something for them to buy. Just like if you go to the store and you're looking around, when you walk into a store, you assume there's stuff to buy. And oftentimes in bookkeeping or accounting sales, we don't assume there's something to buy. We kind of like ask permission. Like, well, do you think you'd like advisory services? You know, like, do you think you'd like, it's like, well, no, just present to them the option. Hey, I've got this great service. Actually, I have this person, this advisor on my team, her expertise is in your industry. And I think meeting with her weekly or monthly or quarterly will really greatly benefit you. And put, and then put that into your proposal. And what I like to do is I always like to present in a proposal more options, like, you know, two or three more options on top of the bookkeeping, so that the, so that they can see the value go up in your proposal. So they might see, like, you know, a $500 a month bookkeeping package, right, for some bookkeeping. But then they see option two, like add a monthly call. And then option three would be add a monthly call plus a quarterly check-in that's like 4 hours, a half a day check-in, you know, plus something else. So that they see these three options, and the way the brain works is that you start comparing, right? When you start comparing the three options and go, oh, option two looks like a great value. So I like giving those options in the proposal and making the customer let you know if they're not interested in that service. But quite often, they didn't know that you offered that, right? Because their website didn't say it, or they just didn't know that was in the realm of online services. And once they get that option, then they, that's when their interest starts sparking and go, wow, you've presented me something I didn't know I even needed or wanted.
And you're using QuickBooks Online for all your clients, or using other tools?
All QuickBooks Online, so 100% of our clients are on QuickBooks Online. And then we use two other accounting software, ReceiptBank and Bill.com, as a standard tech stack to serve our clients.
You include that in your base service for all your clients?
We include ReceiptBank for everybody, and then we include Bill.com for people who want us to do accounts payable management.
Okay. And how does technology and apps actually help rather than just being a cost for your advisory services and your accounting services?
Well, yeah, so the technology helps because obviously it's all cloud-based. So we're able to, one, build the company, build Reconciled as a distributed team, and hire the best people that want to work for us wherever they live, right? And so we do focus our hiring in three particular states right now: Vermont, New Hampshire, and North Carolina, and primarily because that's where we have offices and that's where we've decided we're okay having tax nexus in. And so we've purposely chosen those states and have actively recruited in those three states. We do have team members that have moved from those states to other states, and we keep them on because of technology. So we're able to keep them on and have them keep working for us as employees. And then, so that's one, is technology helps us serve our clients as well as pick the right team members. Because it's cloud-based, it lets us in real time show our clients numbers and advise them on trends and where their business is going financially. It helps, you know, they don't have to wait for us to send them a PDF file or send them some kind of file. They can just pop on into QuickBooks, pull up a report that we prepared in QuickBooks, and show them year-to-date or month-to-date numbers and comparative numbers. And so those are some of the things that the technology helps us do. And it also lets us research apps that might interest them, that might help the workflow of their business, right? Whether it's inventory apps or e-commerce apps or whatever it is.
So if you don't mind me summarizing, you're saying the apps and the technology is not necessarily the secret sauce. It is the people and the talent that you have. And having the apps and the technology allows you to choose from a much wider range of talented folks, because you don't have to pick from a narrow geographic area, and allows you to keep them if they want to move. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, I would say that, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the apps are only as good as your people, right? So if your people can't use them correctly, if they can't understand them, learn them quickly, leverage them, set them up properly, then they're kind of useless. But the fact that the apps are really great and the people, that allows us then to reach more people, and they're on the cloud, so it allows us to hire more people, then that's been really, really helpful.
And that kind of is the pitfall of the way they're presenting apps right now. They're saying just add apps, so make your life easier, but it's not the app, it's the app and the brain that can push the right buttons in the app. So it's not about adding a lot of apps, it's about working, I guess, with a smaller group of apps that you have mastered and work really well at, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we are really intentional about the apps that we're going to introduce to our clients. So we make sure that is the app, do what it says? Has it been around for a while? Is the company behind it, have significant funding? Or are they going to be around for a while? Or are they a fly by night, app that's been introduced in the ecosystem? Do they have good reviews? Have they been used by other pro advisors and small businesses? So we do a lot of research in those areas before we then say, okay, we're going to introduce this app in the tech stack. Do they have good customer service? Right? Can any of our bookkeepers or customers call and get help? So those are all really important aspects to an app.
So you have over 100 clients you're mentioning now, an average about $1,000 a month. You're saying an average. I mean, obviously it swings. And you said three consultants, and how many non-consultant team members?
No, so I have three advisors.
Advisors.
People who do advisory services. Yeah, all of my employees, all the people that work for me are employees, but we have three at our advisory level, and then we have 18 total team members. So, and out of the 18, 14 of them are accounting professionals, advisors or accounting professionals, and then the rest are administrative or sales staff.
Perfect. So now we got, you got a small firm out of Burlington, Vermont, in three states, over 100 clients, that's $1,000 per client. I mean, that's a lot of revenue you're managing, plus a lot of employees and jobs you're managing. How did you get there? The question is twofold. How do you get the clients? How do you leverage marketing? And how you get how you also got the employees. I'd like to know about those two, because they kind of go hand in hand, right? Acquiring talent and employees and acquiring good customers is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So when I started with just one bookkeeper, and I was fortunate enough that I met this bookkeeper at my church. I first taught him how to do bookkeeping on the church's books, because I was the treasurer of the church. And so I actually taught him bookkeeping. He came to me and said he was interested in helping. So I taught him bookkeeping and saw him do the work and noticed a natural talent for figuring out QuickBooks, figuring out a few of the apps we were using. And then he came to me about a year or so later and said, hey, I'm thinking about getting a master's in accounting. His undergrad was in like communications or something. He was doing social work at the time. And so he said, I'd really like to go get a master's in accounting. What do you think? He asked my advice. And I realized there was a hunger in him that you couldn't create that hunger, right? It's other people. It's self-created. And he came to me and said, I have hunger. So the moment I said that, I said, I want to hire you. And what I need to do to get you out of your social work job, I'm going to hire you full time. I'm going to start Reconciled. And we're going to see if an online bookkeeping service is something that the market wants. And I thought I already had a hunch that it would, because the clients I was serving as a CFO at the time, all their bookkeeping was terrible. and I would always have to go in and fix it before I could do my advisory work. So once I trained my first employee how to do the work I was doing, I began putting him on to clients and launched Reconciled's website and really tried to learn from every client we got after that. And how I got clients was, in the beginning, it's just, friends and family and your network, just letting people know on Facebook and LinkedIn, hey, I started Reconciled, if you need any help. So the word started getting out. We started getting clients that way. And I'm also a fairly natural networker. You'd know me long enough, Hector, where I can go out and say hi, talk to anybody and let them know what I do and let them know about this new business. And so you have to let people know you exist, right? No one knows you exist, and they will forget after you tell them. So you have to tell them all the time you exist, This is what your business, this is what you do. And don't be afraid to do that, right? And so I did that for the first year. That's, I did a lot of word of mouth, emailing, connecting with people on LinkedIn, and grew organically from there. And once I got enough clients to, once I got enough clients to get Brian to capacity, to about 80%, 70-80% capacity, I started interviewing for the next person. And I used free resources to do that. Craigslist, Indeed. And I just, you know, at first you just start learning what to look for and what types of people to look for. And then once I got enough clients to fill him, I went to the next person. So it's just, you start, you know, you start learning that process. And, you know, 3 years later, I'm at 18 people. So it's been just an addition every step of the way.
That's amazing, Michael. So just to summarize, you said you helped someone, I guess, for free. Just, you were just helping someone. He was your friend or someone from the community. He came to you and says, I think I want to pursue a career in this world. You saw something in him. You said, look, this would be a great person to have on a new business venture, which simultaneously you were doing advisory, CFO, part-time work, and you realized that there was a gap on getting just the books clean because it's impossible to give advice with messed up books. So you combined your two passions, I guess, you know, helping people, being a business advisor and filling the gap of bookkeeping. And that's how your business was born. That's awesome. Great story. So the last question they ask, which I think is a really good question on the Firm of the Future contest, is share a story on how you leveraged cloud-based technology like QuickBooks Online, QBO, third-party apps, that sort of thing, to help a specific client prosper and achieve success.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this one because this small business obviously is going to be coming with me to QuickBooks Connect as part of the Firm of the Future. Intuit's bringing us both out. And this client, OG, I've been working with them since the summer of 16. What I did was the local chamber has this thing called Launch VT. It's a statewide Vermont-based pitch competition. And I was one of the sponsors. And so my sponsorship was a year long's worth of bookkeeping services for the winner. And so we went to the pitch competition and OG won the competition. And so they became a client of ours for, you know, a year's worth of bookkeeping services. Well, 6 months into it, they had used up the whole value because they had used up bookkeeping, advisory. They wanted a lot of services as a startup client. And so we were able to then move them into a monthly contract not too long after they became a client. But when they came to us, they had QuickBooks Online set up and they were tracking a few things, but that's it. That's all they had. And they really took our advice and they took advantage of the fact that they could test the waters with us with that prize package they won. They tested the waters with us and they found our advice. And every time we told them something, they followed through with it. So if we said, okay, you need to go and you're looks like you're going to be selling on Amazon, you need to go look at A2X because the sales tax is going to be a bear and we need to report that into QuickBooks Online. You're going to do multi-state tax reporting. We need to go look at a tax jar because we need to connect these multi-state taxes and keep the compliance going in an easy way online. So everything we said every step of the way, they looked into it and followed through. And that's been really helpful. They even so where when they were ready to shift off of their e-commerce platform that they started with to a new one, they took our advice and looked at Shopify. So OG has been an amazing client and they've grown. You know, now they're selling, I think, in 7 Amazon channels throughout the world, selling throughout online. They've just been a great team to work with. And I was involved as an advisor, but one of the senior accountants on my team has been involved as their main point of contact and advising them as well. So that's been really great.
That's awesome, Michael. And Michael, what is the best business advice you have ever received?
The best business advice I've ever received.
I didn't prep you for this one.
You didn't prep me for this one at all. I would say, the business advice I've received is stay focused on your core strength, like focus on what you're good at and delegate the rest. So don't try to become master of everything, of all things. Delegate what you can and stay focused on your core strength. So that's probably one of the best business advice I've ever received.
Yeah, I heard it as a catchphrase, do what you do best, outsource the rest.
Yes, that's great advice. Yeah.
And Michael, if you are in a dinner party or something, and somebody meets you and says, "What do you do?" Do you say, "I'm an accountant"? What do you say? I always find that to be an interesting way. You know, people don't want to hear a long explanation, but they also don't want to hear, "I'm an accountant," right?
Yeah. So I usually say, "I'm an entrepreneur," "I own an online accounting business." That's what I say, an online accounting business. And usually that helps them go, "Oh, okay." And that's a very different way than saying an accountant, because when you say online, like, "Oh, I've never heard of an accountant online. That's interesting." So you want to try to, I think you want to try to say something that sparks conversation, right? So Sure.
Sure. And Michael, what's your why? Why do you do what you do? What's in the, I know you want to, be profitable and prosper, be your own boss, but why do you do what you do?
Oh, that's really great. I really thrive in helping other people succeed in their passion, right? So I think the reason why I've done consulting for so long is now in this role, Reconciled, serving entrepreneurs across the country, is I really get excited when I can see somebody's passion come alive and when they come alive. And so I think that's a big part of my why is helping people's passion come alive.
That's great, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us at Art of Advisory in this special edition of bringing Michael Lee from Reconciled to talk about being a Firm of the Future finalist and what does it mean. Michael, real quick, how can people get in contact with you and learn more about what you do?
Well, first, definitely go to the Firm of the Future link that Hector provides and vote for Reconciled. And you have through the 31st of October to vote. Please, I would love your vote. And then if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me, michael@reconciledit.com. It's michael@reconciledit.com. Or you can go to Twitter, @BurlingtonCFO or @GetReconciled. Either one works. And I'm happy to connect with you. You can reach out on LinkedIn as well, Michael Lee on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect with you.
That's great. So guys, check out the description. I will go ahead and put the link to vote. Today is the last day, October 31st, Halloween. Last day to vote for Reconciled and Michael Lee to put the U.S. again as a Firm of the Future winner this year. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks, Hector.